hoping that my connection is going to, my connection is stable. And I'm here to talk to you guys today about the movie Forrest Gump, because somehow I've been watching this movie for years, okay, of my life, since I was a young girl. And for the first time in my life, I am now seeing it like for some deeper meaning. So I'm going to talk to y'all about it, because the movie Forrest Gump is, I mean, you know, it's a classic, but the way I watched it last night, it said some things to me that I want to say to you. And there's very special things about this movie, especially looking at men. Peace. Good to see you on here. I don't be going live no more. I do not go live anymore, but I'm thinking about going back to my old ways, because I used to go live with y'all almost every week. But anyway, talking about Forrest Gump. So Forrest Gump has several themes in it, okay, that have me feeling like it's worth a discussion, because he was not a man of intelligence, but he was a man of skill. Okay. And it made him wildly successful because of that, because he was not necessarily doing any level or any amount of overthinking in his life. And you have to like really think about how Forrest Gump lived. And I'm telling you the way I watched this movie last night, from the eyes that I have and the heart that I have right now, I was like, look at Forrest Gump. I was like, look at Forrest, because he is a whole life. He's a whole word right now. So I want y'all to just like think about Forrest Gump. If you haven't seen it, you got to go watch it, because he was, like I said, okay. So if you think about when he first was being evaluated for his learning deficiency, they basically tried to make it seem like he was a special learner, like he was retarded or whatever. So maybe he was not very verbal, or he could have been like on the scale of autism, or, you know, whatever it was. Of course, back in those days, it wasn't diagnosable, but he was able to interact with the world around him. So Forrest Gump was like, he was very like neutral towards life. And I thought about the movie Yes Man, okay? Because the movie Yes Man is same concept. Jim Carrey, when he stopped overthinking things and just learned to start saying yes, it turned his life around. And every time Forrest Gump got presented with something in his life, he just said yes. He didn't overthink anything. He just went directly into whatever life was wrapping him up into. Like, he just went with the flow. It's like one minute he's playing college football, the next minute he is in the war, the next minute he is like a ping pong champion. The next minute, you know, he's getting the shrimp boat, and he's doing all this stuff. Like, no matter what was going on in his life, he was chasing Jenny around. That was probably the only one constant thing in his life that he would not give up on or just kind of accept. He always gave Jenny a try. And this is something that I thought was, it's making me look at people differently, but specifically men, because I've always had an aversion to people who cannot express themselves. I need some level of expression so that I can understand. I like to be able to understand a person and be able to, you know, connect with them and all that. So I'm assuming that's the reason why Jenny was always running from him, because she didn't understand him. She didn't know how to, you know, love him back. And I'm assuming that's the reason why she never settled down with him. But you could still tell. You could still look at him, even though he was nonverbal, he could not express himself, he couldn't communicate, he couldn't connect with her or none of that, he was still obviously in love with her. So, you know, it's kind of like, dang, when I look at men, I look at them like, if you're not expressing yourself, then the feeling must not be there. That's always, because that's how I've always been. If I feel something, I express it. So looking at Forrest Gump, it was like, dang, what if it's a situation where this person is just nonverbal in that area, like, but they still have, like, Forrest Gump was an expert at everything he did. Everything he did it to the highest, most expert, most skilled level that he could possibly do it. I mean, like, if Forrest was going to do it, he was going to do it. I'm talking about military, got medals of honor. I'm talking about the ping pong championship. I'm talking about the trekking across America. I mean, the man had met all the presidents. I mean, all kinds of stuff. He was just a master of everything. And he was supposedly retarded. And so it's like, if this man is managing to live his life to the fullest, even though he's in this certain mental category, like, whatever. The dude was, I mean, even every time, I would never forget when the sergeant, the drill sergeant, came to Forrest and he was like, what is your sole purpose here in the military? And he was like, the sole purpose is to do whatever you tell me to do. And he was like, God doggone it, man, are you some kind of genius or what? That's the best answer anybody's ever given me, ever. And I'm just like, look at Forrest Gump, because the man did not overthink anything. It's like he just allowed the natural flow of life to just come and take him up. And I feel sad for him that he didn't get a chance to feel whatever love Jenny had for him. He didn't get a chance to feel it because he wanted to do more. He wanted to be more. And he wanted to really, like, you know, be her everything. But she wouldn't allow it because she could not feel him. She couldn't get into him. And, oh, man, it's just so terrible because he was wildly successful. He was wildly successful. And I just wonder how many instances in our society when everybody's talking about the dating pool is trash and nobody has, you know, a value anymore. It's like, okay, what could I have possibly missed in this transaction? What could I have missed about this person because I didn't understand them or I didn't allow myself to receive what they were giving? And I feel terrible because I know for a fact that Forrest Gump loved Jenny. He loved her and nobody can deny that. So it's like, if you can plainly see that without all of these expressions and all these gifts and all these like displays, you know, because he didn't do all that, but he clearly loved her. He like showed up for her. He tried to protect her. You know, he tried to listen to her. He allowed her to be herself. He got out of the way when she was crazy, like when she was throwing the rocks at the house and she was just breaking down. Like the man just, you know, he came and just sat down next to her. Like, so what now? He was just down for it. Like everything about his life, he was just down for it. And I love how he didn't stay hung up on Jenny. Like he thought about her a lot, but he still lived his life. Like Forrest wasn't thinking about it when he was in the middle of the battlefield or when he was running. He was thinking about it when he was running across America. But what I'm saying is he didn't let that stop him from running across America. He didn't let that stop him from achieving high ranking in the military. He didn't let that stop him from running a multi-million dollar business and retiring his, you know, deceased partner's parents. You know, he didn't let that stop him from living his life. But, you know, he just always remembered, like, I love this woman. I love her. So, like, whatever I do, I'm still going to have space for her. And I mean, I was also sad that she went out and, you know, a lot of men will say that women will be out in the streets and be for these streets. And then as soon as they, you know, have ran through a lot of, you know, failed relationships, then they'll come back to the one good guy or the one genuine guy that never did anything wrong to them. And I swear it's exactly what Jenny did. That's exactly what Jenny did. She let the streets run and tear through her. She come back all diseased and old. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't even get a chance to enjoy her. She just gave him the baby and died. And I'm just like, damn, Jenny. Damn. Forrest wanted to love you. He had all that immense, like, you can tell how much he loved her because, like I said, Forrest Gump is not going to overthink anything. So if he see you like the brother at the Black Panther party or the guy that was trying to grab on Jenny in the audience, you know, on sight, I don't care. If I see you making her uncomfortable, I'm not asking you no questions, bro. I'm getting ready to lay hands on you. And that's how he protected her. So she was like, she didn't even appreciate that. But I feel like Jenny should have appreciated that. She didn't appreciate it. She thought it was controlling. Like, she was like, put me down. And you know, she just wasn't having it. She wasn't allowing him to, like, when he got in the car and beat that dude down because she kept trying to fight him off in the car. And he was like, you know, he just lay hands on him. Like, Forrest Gump was not about to think about it. He didn't think about it. He just laid hands whenever he saw necessary, especially about Jenny. And it was, it was so many things about Forrest Gump. Like, okay, when Bubba was dying in the field, Forrest Gump went and pulled out each person out of the jungle, just incessantly looking for his partner, the type of loyalty that Forrest Gump had. And this is supposed to be a person that's of remedial intelligence. And that's the reason why I keep bringing that up. Like, they tried to make it seem like he wasn't smart. And it's like, the way this man lived his life was impeccable. It wasn't a man of his word, a man, you know, like a successful person. He knew how to just take action. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it was like his mind was just ready for whatever, you know, his mind was just ready for whatever. And I appreciated seeing how he didn't need to overcomplicate anything at all to get it done. The man just got it done. I'm like, I wonder how many of us are doing that. Like, to me, it's like a prison that you live in. It's a prison that you live in. Absolutely. Because you're trying to give yourself space to experience life. You're trying to give yourself the space to say, I'm happy, or I have peace, or I'm comfortable, or whatever. You know, you like, you're having all of these desires in life, but second you start overthinking, it introduces barriers. It introduces, you know, hesitation. Like, should I? I was getting ready to, but yeah, I said I was. Oh, but like, that is a prison. Can you not? Can you imagine just constantly, always, like? Like, you don't want to give yourself that kind of prison to be in. And it's like, when you watch Forrest Gump, he never allowed that for himself. You know, it was, he's sitting there, Jenny, I think, had died, his mom had died, he's just sitting on the porch, and brother just, you know, got up and started running. He's like, I just felt like running. I just felt like it. So I wasn't going to sit here and think about it and go prepare for it. And, you know, he didn't go get some water or he didn't go, like, you know, go to the bathroom or call nobody and tell somebody that he getting ready to go for a run. Like, he didn't do none of that. He did not go and get a power breakfast or get a nice sleep. The man just literally stood up and started running just because he felt like it. And it led to him running across the country multiple times. You know, people idolizing him and following him and finding meaning out of something that he really just did on a whim. So many people found meaning in it. People came to him for advice. I mean, people were supporting him. They were trying to, you know, ask him questions, interviewing him. Like, what are you doing? I mean, and it was so crazy because when he decided to go home, all the people behind him, one dude, yelled out, what am I going to do now? What are we going to do now? And I thought to myself, why are you asking him that? He didn't invite y'all. And I also felt like them people should not have followed Forrest Gump. They shouldn't have followed him. That man was minding his business. He ran across the country because he was thinking about Jenny. He didn't want, I don't think he wanted all of them people around him. And it's like he was, I mean, I appreciate they gave him his space. You know, they wasn't like running all up on him. They allowed him to, you know, kind of be further up the road. But still, you know, that's still, I don't know if he had a weight on his mind about it. But if he did, they shouldn't have followed that man because he wasn't out there for them. He was out there for himself. But I thought it was really interesting to just see how his life developed without him overthinking, without him having to plan, without him saying no to things. I realized another thing about our community, just, you know, in trying to communicate with people, because I network quite a bit for business purposes. I'm always, you know, talking to people, linking and whatever, and I observe. So in my observations, I'm finding a lot of, you know, similar patterns of communication where I'm trying to, let's just say somebody asks me advice, okay? And I give my interpretation of what I've observed. This person may not want to make the change that I'm talking about, or they may not want to face the reality of what I'm saying. So they'll just like make a denial or make a creative, crafty excuse as to why they don't want to take a suggestion, or they don't want to try something different, or they don't want to go with the flow. You understand? Because if I tell you, oh, well, this would be a lot better if you tried this way. You know, I kind of watch how you did this. You know, you're asking me for advice, so I'm going to give you what I feel. I'm going to tell you how I've, what I feel about what I see. And a person might say, oh, well, you know, I can't do that because I'm allergic, or, you know, no, I can't do that. Or because, that makes my leg hurt, or, you know, I can't do that because that'll just make me crazy. And it's just like, but do you want a result? I mean, I'm not saying if you're allergic to something to just ignore your allergies, but I'm saying that might be a problem. Yes. But does that mean that there is no solution? Because it sounds like, I'll never forget, I have a homegirl. She told me, like, we were having a discussion about, like, traumatic past and childhood trauma and stuff like that. And I said something that was very low vibrational. So my girlfriend said something to lift me up and gave me a different perspective, gave me a new way to look at it. And so when I continued on down the same negative path, like, yeah, but this situation, this, and I just don't understand. And she said, listen, do you want to elevate away from this, or do you want to see it like that? I'm trying to give you a higher perspective. You know, are you going to bring yourself up, or are you going to drag me down? And I was just like, dang, you know, I appreciated her kind of snapping me into reality at that moment, because I didn't look at it like that. I didn't look at it like, you're trying to give me solutions. So whether or not what you said is the actual solution or not, the point is that we should be here focused on solutions. We should be here focused on things that are going to move me or the situation past this challenge or this hurdle. So, you know, a lot of times I hear, just in communication, very negative language. You know, it turns off the activation of the manifestation. Whereas if I'm saying, okay, you could, you know, manage your time this way. Okay. Maybe you should look at it like, break this time down, do that, you know, handle it this way. And then everything you have to say after I suggest something to you is about what you can't do, what you won't do, what you shouldn't do, what you thought about doing, but didn't do. And then it turns into this, I ain't gonna say nothing else, because you're insisting upon being a problem and not being a solution. And so this is, you know, the type of stuff that I drew connections to while I'm watching Forrest Gump. This man didn't have those kind of problems. He did not have those kind of problems because he did not allow himself to constantly overthink. Like when he joined the Navy or joined the Army, whatever section he was in, when he joined, somebody had just handed him a pamphlet. Like when he became the top football star at his college, it was because he made a mistake and ran clear down the field or something like that. It happened. It was like happenstance, you know? And so we have this, we have the opposite effect. It's like the opposite is happening in our lives. We're not just allowing life to just draw us up into some whimsical, adventurous experience. We're stopping it. We're like, no. We have all this negative language. Like, especially when it comes to politics. Jeez. Oh my God. To politics. I get so sick of talking to some people when it comes to politics, because the level of limited thinking that people have when it comes to political situations and the defeatist mindset that I hear when it comes to people talking about political subjects, subjects and outlooks and trajectories. You hear me? It's so grim. It's so negative. It's so depressing. I'd be like, come on, man. Y'all don't have no hope. You don't have any hope. I get so lost in it because, you know, the things that could serve as solutions in our community, it's almost as if the positive things are not there. I want to tell y'all something. This is so relevant, okay? Forrest Gump gave me a lot, apparently. But I'm going to tell y'all something that it may not seem like it's relevant, but I'm about to tell you anyway. So I saw a 60 Minutes clip the other day about the Great Resignation, where they did a whole interview with a lady that's like over LinkedIn, and she's talking about the data trends for how Americans have basically put their foot down and demanded flexibility from the job market because people want to work from home. They realize that we live in a highly digital world and there's no reason why people should not be able to work from home. So workers have been crippling businesses by leaving and just figuring out a hustle, okay? Instead of being mistreated or instead of being captured into some kind of structural, schedule or whatever that they don't feel is necessary. So if you think about the fact that that happened collectively all at one time, okay? Listen, the isolation of y'all stay at home and cover your face and all of that, you know, stuff, it caused for people to develop a comfort zone, but not just physically, okay? This comfort zone has been created spiritually and financially because people have begun to hustle. People are hustling. And with that ingenuity that we have, we've realized that the environment, the work environment is just, it's simply not worth it anymore. It's not worth being there anymore. So a lot of people are like, hold on, I got to find my niche. I got to find my target market. I got to learn how to package and sell. I got to learn how to, you know, hustle. I got to learn how to get it, you know, figure out where am I going to tap into these streams of income? Because me selling my time is not going to work. So I'm going to sell something else. I'm going to sell my intellectual property. I'm going to sell my processes. I'm going to sell my experience. I'm going to sell something that I can teach or whatever. So we get into this comfort zone, and collectively, y'all, we have created a new normal on the job market. What would you say about that? If everything is so, we can't do this, the government's too powerful, and they're just gonna, you know, it's just a system of oppression and corruption, and it's all these other things, then how did we manage to do that? Because I resigned. I was a part of the Great Resignation. The lady at LinkedIn, she said basically everybody was just like, you could take this job and shove it. That's exactly what I did. And I did it in true Charisse fashion. You hear me? When I walked out of there, it was a couple of people that got the chance to see me before I left. And I'm trying to tell you, I'll never go back, ever. I will never go back. And that's basically what the lady was saying. There was a lady that started her own business as an entrepreneur when she left the corporate market. And she said, there's not any amount of money, not a dollar amount that any company could offer me that will surpass what I have created here in my home. She's married with children, and she's running a company called WorksBee, if I'm not mistaken. And WorksBee basically connects executive assistants with executive offices around the country, virtual executive assistants. And she herself is the executive assistant for 3 different executive offices. And she said, I will never go back. I will never change. And I was like, my sister, I feel you. And this is not to say that quitting a job and becoming an entrepreneur is for everyone. But what I just said, and the point that I want you to take away from this, is that that's power. That's a show of power. And so, like the connection that I'm telling you that this draws back to Forrest Gump is about the fact that there was a willingness for him to be in the positive flow of things, okay? He was willing to be in the positive flow of things instead of having a negative outlook on everything. And I'm saying that we as a society have to elevate to that level of thinking, that level of being and practicing our daily rituals. Because if your daily ritual does not allow you to challenge anything, especially yourself, then there's not a place where you're going with the flow at all. You're not going with the flow. You're actually stopping it. Okay? Because when you present yourself a challenge, or when you create an opportunity, or when you do something that allows you to flex or expand a little bit, then it makes you reform yourself into something, or refine yourself into something different. And that's what Forrest Gump was doing, like the book, The Alchemist. It was just like the book, The Alchemist. You understand? Going with the flow of life and finding success and finding yourself and finding your strengths and your weaknesses and learning to manage them like a perfect, you know, orchestra, you know, making all the low tones complement the high tones and then coloring it, you know, with a little bit of improvisation in the middle. Make the music of life sing, you know, make it sound good, because the challenge of it is what makes it an opportunity. That's what makes it the opportunity, is when there's a challenge. Like when he started playing ping pong, he took the ping pong and the guy said, never take your eye off the ball. So he does this and Forrest is like, oh, bet, got it. That's all he needed. That's all he needed. He was a champion. He was a champion after that. Forrest Gump was a bad mamma jamma. You couldn't tell him nothing. He didn't need a lot, you know? He didn't need a lot. All he really needed was that doggone genie. But it really didn't need that. Because look at all the stuff he did in his life. He just wasn't that happy without her. You know? He just wasn't that happy without her. And that says something else about our relationships. Our relationships in America. It says something else to be seen and heard and thought and felt in our souls. I mean, do you want to do all of that by yourself? Think of how Forrest Gump longed for love. Think of how Forrest Gump really just wanted Jenny. He just really wanted to be with her. He really wanted to have her and to hold her and to talk to her. He, you know, when she came back as an adult and they were sitting in that tree again, and Forrest was just like, I didn't care what was going on. She was just here. She's back. This is my friend. We talking. We back like peas and carrots again. And he was just satisfied. He didn't need nothing from her. He just wanted her to be there. I mean, the way that it displayed truly what life should be about in partnership, you know, because he didn't need nothing from Jenny, but he had the world to offer to her. She couldn't accept it. She never did accept it. Because, I mean, by the time she came around, he had experienced everything. She could have been right there experiencing all that stuff with him if she had allowed herself to receive what he was trying to give. But, of course, she was caught up in her trauma. She was caught up in her trauma. So she could not get there. She could not ever receive what the universe had for her, because he definitely was waiting to give whatever he had, you know, experience-wise to her. And so, again, I would stress for us to collectively look at the life of Forrest Gump and think about how he lived. Like, if you're a man, because I'm going to talk about men and women here, but if you're a man and you look at Forrest Gump's life, put yourself in that man's shoes. Can you imagine, okay, chasing a fortune and looking for riches and some kind of financial stability before you wed a woman, and you are so focused on that you never get a chance to really find a woman that is for you? Because I don't know if Jenny necessarily had to be the one, but think about it. Like, Forrest could have went to anybody. He could have went to any woman and been like, okay, let's build this together. Let's have an experience together. He wanted Jenny, but she, you know, who knows what life would have been like. So think about that. Like, if you are focus on your billions, your millions, your empire, whatever, who do you want to experience that with? Somebody new? Who do you want to experience that with for real? Because you don't want to go through all of that. Look at all of the stuff that Forrest Gump did in his life. He did it alone or with Lieutenant Dan. Do you want to have all your life experience with a Lieutenant Dan? I don't think so. Don't know. You need a partner. You need a partner. Not a Jenny. Okay? Not a Jenny. Because Jenny was not, she was not suitable for him. But I believe that Forrest definitely would have been able to make some woman happy. Just not Jenny. he would have been able to have some kind of relationship, you know, with her. But Jenny wasn't ready. So I think that's a couple of that's a way for our society to really start getting over, you know, the images of how we're looking at each other. But for women, I think in Jenny's situation, if we were in her shoes looking at a man for superficial things, you know, Jenny wasn't really into Forrest like that. And I mean, you can kind of understand why. I wouldn't have been down for it. I don't know if I would have let Forrest get me pregnant. Oh, Forrest would have had to, I don't know if I would have been okay with Forrest either, because he was nonverbal. But what kind of relationship would that have been? I don't know. She would have experienced all that stuff, but would they have been connected? Like, would they have had some, you know, mental connection? I don't know. I wish I could see an alternative version of the story where they do get together, because I would like to see what that relationship would have been like. Jenny was wild. She was super wild. Like, would she have turned him out? Like, would she have got him on crack? Because she was heavy, strung out. You know, like, would he have lived that same kind of life? That's something to think about, y'all. Would he, think about it, how do you get with somebody? Look at Jenny's life, how she lives separately from this guy. You understand me? She lives separately from this dude, but if she had imposed her life on him because he loved her so much, think of what Forrest would have become. Jenny was wild. She would have had that man she would have had that man looking like Lieutenant Dan. She would have had that man out here like Lieutenant Dan. Oh, and that's terrible, because it's like, dang. He had a lot of potential, and I think that's the reason why he was able to meet his potential and see his potential, is because he never got, and maybe that's the reason why she never got with him, because she could see that she would have ruined his life. That's probably the reason why she was like, just leave me alone, Forrest. Like, when he was going off to the military, she was like, just leave me alone. Just go and live your life, because I'm not, you don't want this crackhead. Boy, I'm out here shooting up. I'm out here, you know, boyfriend hopping and, you know, doing all the running the streets. You don't need to be with me. And I appreciated the fact that Forrest, again, he went with the flow. He went with the flow. He never tried to force anything. Never tried to force a single thing. And look at how many things manifested in his life. He even got a chance to manifest Jenny. I'm glad that he got a baby out of the situation. I'm glad that he got that little baby out of that situation, because he needed that piece of Jenny. I think he needed that piece of Jenny that was going to be into him. And as a father to a young man, you know, I think, oh, and God, Tom Hanks did such a good job doing the acting on that movie. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and leave this alone, because I have been on here for 33 minutes talking about Forrest Gump, but really talking about life. So I really want to, you know, just assess some of those things. Go watch Forrest Gump. Go watch it and appreciate the life of Forrest Gump and the way he took care of the people around him, the way he reached his potential, the way he inspired people, the way he never let his challenges overcome his ability. I mean, the way that he did not complain about life. You know, you never really heard Forrest Gump complain about anything. He just was like, okay, this is what it is. Let's go. Okay, he was courageous. He was humble. You understand? Like, he found the meaning in life. There was a reason why he did the things he did. This was a man of integrity. Like, he wasn't about to lie to nobody. He was never ashamed of who he was. You know, he stayed true to what his mama taught him. Okay? He just had... God. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. And like I said, I want you to also think about that movie, The Yes Man. Yes Man, with Jim Carrey, because you can see how him changing into a yes man changed his life. Going with the flow is basically the takeaway here. learning what it looks like to go with the flow, what it feels like to go with the flow, to just say yes. Okay. All right. Sounds good. I'll do it. Sure thing. Not a problem. That'll work. I can go on and on and on. Ways to go with the flow. This needs to be your vocabulary. Sure, I can. I will. No problem. I'm here for it. I'm down. I'll be there. I can't wait. Like, this is your new vocabulary. Take it on so that you can take it in. Yes. Say yes if you want to go with the flow. Accept the idea. Okay? Accept the idea and receive it. Allow yourself to receive it. I think this is one of the biggest problems that we have. We want stuff that we won't receive. Not that we can't receive. Stuff that we will not. We refuse to receive certain things because of our limited beliefs. Come on, people that are into this political world, we got to stop with the I can't and it won't happen and that's not how it works and blah, 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 blah. This never worked like that, blah, blah, blah. I get sick of it. Elevate your thinking, baby, because, you know, we're here for the challenge. We're here for the growth and the expansion. So live life for us, Gump, okay? Peace and love, y'all. Bye.